wake up!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin boarding. If we could ask for your cooperation, would you all please remain seated?
Well, how'd you sleep last night?
I don't believe that's any of your business.
If you go to a Bansy Fall and you want to have a prance and Hansel all in fub with you, don't forget to slop your dripper.
Mr. Nightlinger, what's for breakfast?
Dude, apples, bacon, and biscuits.
Well, forget the apples. Slap some bacon on a biscuit. Let's go.
You're on the high ground with Craig Flowers.
Johnny Yotes, break, how do you hear me?
10-4, good buddy, I hear you loud and clear.
Allons-y!
Let's go!
Texans and everybody that got here as fast as you possibly could. But remember where you came and what you left, and don't mess with Texas. Yes, indeed, there are a lot of states, we'll give it to you, that are great. But as we know, there's only one great state.
Learn it, know it, live it.
You are listening live, local, and watching digital on the Horn app at hornfm.com, 101.9, 104.9, AM 1260, streaming live on the Horn app. From the banks of 360, I am Craig Flowers, fourth-generation native Texan. You are listening to the High Ground on a what's going to be a beautiful Saturday morning in the ATX as we're on the heels of the Big Ugly Tailgate. This is hour number one of our one-hour show. Riding shotgun in studio is the pride of East Austin, the UC Davis cornerback with 10 combat deployments as a special operations helicopter pilot that he won't speak of unless you ask. Owner of the world's friendliest Rottweiler, Sasha Marie, the pride of East Austin himself, the one, the only. Am I talking about Jamie Frazier? Jamie Frazier!
Good morning, Colonel. What's going on?
Good morning, my friend. That beard looking strong to his right, your left, creating the mirror effect, is Jack Brown Cleaners, Will Brown. He could braid those locks into two braided tails off either ear. Good morning. Hope Jack Brown Cleaners is continuing to march forward during these weird times.
Good morning, sir. I love the contrast on introductions. The war hero and the guy that can braid his hair. There was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then we had Danny DeVito.
Twins.
And that's the way it is. This 444th day of the High Ground from the banks of 360.
Yes, twins.
Fascinating. Boy, I had reports last night that they were seeing UFOs in the clear skies, and suddenly, you know, you look down and you start looking around, and evidently Tesla's been messing around up in space. A lot of things going on in space, and people are seeing stuff up there. I'm like, man, texting and calls. I don't know if anybody heard about this, but I guarantee you, you know, Baker, touchdown maker, probably saw some cray-cray stuff, but Tesla's fiddling around with satellites. Did you know? Did you all know this?
Oh,
no, I didn't know that. I didn't see
anything last night. I know they've been fiddling around with satellites, though.
Yeah.
He fiddles with the satellites and Elon Musk.
Hey, he's going to be on Saturday Night Live tonight.
Yeah, I know. The controversy there with the staff wondering if they want to appear with the controversial figure coming to the ATX. I don't know why he's so controversial. I think he's doing good things.
He's going to be talking about it. And talk about Dogecoin. Dogecoin daddy.
I like Elon. I'd share the stage with him.
Yeah. And here they come out of the south end of San Antonio, Tesla and all of. Look, you got JLR, you know, summing his Tesla to come pick him up. It's interesting, Tesla. You know, it's kind of like buying new golf clubs. I was listening to the boys this morning, Bob Blue, and, you know, at some point, you got to pull the trigger on technology, but you also battle with yourself going, you know, if I wait 6 months, I could get even a better driver or a better car or I don't know. It's a funny deal, you know, when to make a purchase on a certain item. For example, range finders in golf. You know, if you look at range finders and you ask folks about them, right away listeners are going to think, you know, Bushnell, if you're a golfer. Of course, you know, Bushnell's famous for their hunting range finders. But I'll tell you, I got a range finder this week from Upside Golf. They're not a sponsor or anything like that. But it does everything I need it to do. Plus, it's this really cool color green that has a built-in magnet, so you don't have to buy an add-on. Upside Golf lock-on. And it does have slope, for those of you wondering if it does. But it was like $100. And the other one was like $400 and something. Anyway, just
I need one of those range finders that will find my ball.
Yeah, I need a GPS on the golf ball.
I saw a golf ball on Twitter. Someone had posted it, said, if you found this golf ball, you're just as bad as I am.
Yeah, that's great. I don't need a range finder for where I want to go. I need to find where I'm actually going to be.
Unbelievable. And speaking of unbelievable, the baseball game last night,
I know.
I was texting Aaron Hogan last night. I was at a brewery watching every pitch. And I got to tell you, for those of you, you know, keeping score at home, and you should be, of course, the Longhorns go into Fort Worth and win 5-4 on a packed Lupton Stadium. I don't blame you, Occupy Left Field. Send that Twitter. I saw it this morning. Send that tweet to CDC. But yeah, it was a packed house at Lupton Field, and it'll be that way again today at 2 p.m. for the first pitch. But a gutty win. I'll tell you, two defensive plays by the Longhorns in the outfield really preserved the game. These were two plays, one up against the fence, the other a diving catch, probably a top 10 play on ESPN. Of course, the game was on ESPNU, but the play in center field was really saved two or three runs, and it was just a game. It had me on the edge of my seat, reminding me. I texted Aaron Hogan, said I felt like it was 1984 again, and I guarantee you Greg Swindell was feeling the same way as we watched the two former Southwest Conference foes battling it out there in Fort Worth. Two more games in the series remain. And so, I gotta believe that the bats for the Horned Frogs will come to life today, especially pay attention to number one. He plays center field for the Frogs, Nunez. Yeah. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hey, so this will. Anyway, but so where does that put us in the standings? Is Texas one game back going into today?
So I don't know. I can't say for sure. I thought they were one game back going into
last night.
Series.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know, it may be tied atop the Big 12 right now. Some texter will tweet, you know, text that in. But look, if you're Texas, you want to go in and win this series. Just get one more W. Of course, you're thinking, you know, you got a chance to sweep. I heard that on the Big Ugly Tailgate. But a 5-4 game, I don't think anybody's sweeping this series. Could be wrong. But last night I texted Hogan. I said, this feels like a type of a walk-off type game. It's anybody's business, but boy, number 41 came in and just was throwing some breaking pitches that were really remarkable pitches. He just did a great job, and boy, what a tough game! I'm looking forward to today's game too. I'll be watching every pitch of this series, and I know Longhorn fans will be doing the same thing. Now, keep in mind, both teams are going to the tournament. Really, what's being battled for here is a super regional host location, which will be announced on May 11th, where they'll announce the 8 super regional locations. And as of last night, Frogs were number 3 in the country. Longhorns were number 6. I don't expect that to change too much until we know the outcome of this entire series.
Hey, Colonel, I would expect if we get two more close games like that, I would expect for both teams to have a really great shot at hosting super regionals either way. I mean, I think the Big 12's kind of proved themselves, and I don't know. I could see both Texas and TCU, you know, keeping home field going into Omaha if they both get there.
Well, I'm knocking on wood, of course, but I think that is a real possibility. Last night there was a walk-off home run in College Station as the Aggies won an SEC game, but they've really struggled, got swept last weekend. So I don't think there'll be a super – well, there's not going to be a super regional in College Station. But really it comes down to Fort Worth. And we've been talking about this on the high ground, Jamie, for the last couple of months. We knew the 7th, 8th, and 9th in May were really going to be critical. And there was a strange call last night, and I was in a brewery, so I couldn't hear the sound. I was texting Hogan. But there was a Longhorn was called out, and I believe it was like the shot clock expired. But I couldn't really tell what that was. Strange call. I didn't like it, really. Kind of a quirky call at a critical time in the game. And, you know, I just didn't – I don't – took the bat out of the kid's hands. And but, you know, a rule's a rule, but I don't know. It's kind of
– There's a shot clock in baseball?
Yeah, evidently there is. And catchers have earpieces in the SEC where it supposedly means more, where they're, you know, getting pitches called in from the dugout. During the fall, they were actually doing it on walkie-talkies. Remember those things we used to have little talkabouts? Yeah.
I tell you, I missed it because I was over at Chizos, and they're doing a film that they sponsored over at the headquarters off the Devil's River. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it is. That's a remarkable place. W's got more experience in that. But let me get to our sponsor. Speaking of Chisos, Sportsman's Finest. Jamie, you and I were talking before the show, right on the corner of BK's and 71. Boy, they have just been a remarkable company that has not only survived but thrived through outstanding service and supplies when it comes to firearms, archery, and fly fishing. And they are open now 7 days a week, Sportsman's Finest. There are a lot of laws that are being considered, signed in right now, and Sportsman's Finest is aware of those. They work with you individually and just doing a great job. And, of course, you can also, Father's Day coming up, Mother's Day this Sunday, you can sign up for all of their not only gift cards that they have, but for all their fishing and hunting excursions. Their Awdad Sheep Adventure is one that you might want to consider. But back to Chisos, what you were talking about, that film, Jamie.
Oh, yeah. It was really neat. They have they're trying to conserve the river up there, so they had a couple of representatives that they're a sponsor. But they also sponsored a whole film with a gentleman that's been was born in 1939, has lived there, and he is pretty much guided on the river his entire life. And, you know, he drops people off, picks them up 60 miles later. And, like, when you get in there into the Devil's – what's it called? Devil's River?
I think it's the Devil's River. Yeah.
Devil's
There's a
River.
Couple of them where they do that on.
And you drop them in, and they're like, yeah, after you get in, you pretty much can't get out because there's, like, sheer cliff walls. And then people – there's private property, and you've got – it's weird where you have to camp, but it's an entire excursion. And you ain't seen anybody for probably 3 or 4 days. Yeah.
Hey, would you do that?
I would. I think it'd be fun.
I think you would like that. Yeah. I think that'd be a good adventure.
Come in with three guys, leave with just one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Will, Jamie, and Carl. I know Will's the first one to be dropped somewhere.
You look tasty, sir.
Yeah. There's something in that water be chewing on my hair.
I have been dropped off many times by myself for several days, only to be picked up on far off places.
Yeah, but that's Miss Beth dropping you off at the mall.
That's right. You get two laps today, Colonel.
Hey, break, sit, rep, follow. Speaking of Chisos boots and surfaces of water, that gets us to the Chisos boots morning story.
The morning story.
Five bodies of water in the great state of Texas we will talk about today. I will list them now, and then we'll read each one here, and you can decide which one is which, and then I'll tell you exactly which body of water we're talking about. Falcon International Reservoir, Lake Texoma, Sam Rayburn Reservoir, Amistad International Reservoir, and Toledo Bend Reservoir. Surrounded by the rocky limestone cliffs of southwest Texas near Del Rio, it's located in the Rio Grande Basin. The reservoir was impounded in 1969. The name in Spanish means friendship in honor of the two border countries. And yes, this 64,900-acre reservoir is Amistad International Reservoir. This lake sits on the Red River, between Texas and Oklahoma, formed by the Denison Dam, impounded in 1944. It attracts nearly 6 million visitors annually and is featured state parks on both sides with 70 species of fish. This surface area is 74,686 acres, and that's Lake Texoma. On the Rio Grande, southeast of Laredo, this international reservoir is named after the relocated town named after the reservoir. Impounded in 1954, the reservoir is relatively shallow, with gradual sloping banks leading to river channels throughout the lake. It's highly regarded for its largemouth bass fishing, 83,600 acres. That's Falcon International Reservoir, also known as Falcon Lake. Formerly known as McGee Bend, this reservoir sits in the heart of the Piney Woods, north of Beaumont, fed by the Angelina River. The Angelina National Forest borders the lake north and south, providing stunning scenery for more than 300 fishing tournaments are held there annually. 114,500 acres, and that's Sam Rayburn Reservoir. And finally, this reservoir is the largest body of water in the great state. It straddles the state line with Louisiana and is formed by a dam on the Sabine River, impounded in 1967, where many bass tournaments are held here. It has 181,600 acres, and that is none other than Toledo Bend Reservoir. Five massive bodies of water in the great state of Texas: Toledo Bend, Sam Rayburn, Falcon, Lake Texoma, and Amistad. And that is the Chiso's Boots morning story. Remarkable. We'll be back from the banks of 360. Johnny Oates.
This is Trace Atkins wishing my friend Craig Flowers all the best in Austin, Texas. I'll see you on the high ground.
Well, Fort Worth should cross your mind again today at 2 o'clock because that's where the Longhorns will once again face the Horned Frogs. The Horned Frogs are up one game in the Big 12. Thank you, Tex, for letting us know that. That's right. Horned Frogs remain one game up, but a crucial one today at 2 p.m. Yes, evidently I said, you know, it's hot mic Saturday in Austin, Texas, and Johnny Oates is it's quite a tradition to keep the mic hot. Yes, it's Lake Texoma. Thank you for the correction. I guess I got a little too much time in the brewery last night. I said Amistad, but yeah, it's Lake Texoma on the border of Texas and Oklahoma. That's pretty an obvious misfire there.
Yeah, but, that's
Will's mom got that in, huh?
My mom's last name is Wikipedia.
It's her middle name, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, we've had JJ Gotch in studio with us live on the high ground, and he sent us something yesterday I thought was interesting. Del Diamond hosted the ninth largest crowd for an outdoor sporting event in the United States last night, and the second largest in all of minor league baseball. Del Diamond hosted the ninth largest crowd for an outdoor sporting event in the United States. Here is the order. Number one, Busch Stadium. Number two, Citizens Bank. Number three, Yankee Stadium. Number four, Kauffman. Angel Stadium, number five. Number six, Target Field. Nationals Park, number seven. Isotopes Park, number eight. And Del Diamond, number nine. There were 7,051, largest crowd for an outdoor sporting event in the United States last night, second largest in all of minor league baseball. Remarkable. Occupy left field. I understand your tweet. I'm with you on that.
601 days since they played baseball in the stadium up there in Round Rock. Long time.
Aren't the Isotopes the Simpsons teams? I think it is, isn't it?
It sure is.
Isotopes Park in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for those of you keeping score at home, and you should be. But thank you, J.J. Gotch, for sending that in. They're just doing a remarkable job out there, and I love going out to Del Diamond. I mean, that's our ballpark. That's the way things should be. And just love going out there.
My favorite minor league baseball team's name is Mudcats. Love the Mudcats. Used to watch them up there. They used to be up there in right by Fort Benning. Yep.
Oh yeah, Fort Benning, Georgia.
Yeah.
Man, growing up, there's a great time where you'd look at all the minor league hats.
Oh yeah.
It was always so very unique versus the big clubs. There is always like, you know, you'd always find some cartoonist-y type characters and stuff. It was really, I loved looking at the old minor league logos.
Well, yeah.
No, it's great. You know, Rick Rona, he played, Rick Rona lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma now, but he played with Jeff Fry, played some Major League Baseball. And Rona was talking about, we played golf with him and Jeff Fry recently, and golly, they were talking about their minor league time together. Oh, my gosh, the stories. Man, I thought the Southwest Conference had stories. Boy, minor league baseball, if you want to see how things really should be, in my opinion, with, you know, fan interaction and all that stuff going on, go out to Del Diamond because it's where it's happening right there.
Seeing the world on a bus and living in a La Quinta. There you go, minor league ball.
Yeah, but you know what the great part is? You'll have a Will Ferrell sighting or something like they did here and faked everybody out. I mean, those are some. That's the great part of minor league ball. You're gonna see some theater.
Oh yeah, still pass the hat for home runs.
You know, do you know what the oldest major league ballpark is currently in these United States?
Red Sox.
I'm going to guess either Chicago or Boston.
Yeah.
Fenway Park.
Fenway.
Founded in 1912. If you had to guess, I'm going to give you a trivia here, and I'm going to make this up. I'll make up the answers here. how tall is the Green Monster? How tall is the Green Monster at Fenway Park?
What?
Is it A, 45 feet? Is it B, 44 feet? Is it C, 38 feet? Or is it D, 37 feet?
44.
44? 45?
Just like Reggie Jackson.
Those are some pretty close numbers.
I know, too close. Those were bad choices on my part. 37 feet tall, Fenway Park. I had no idea it was that. It seems like it when you look at it. I've been to Fenway Park a couple of times, and it seems like the thing's like 100 feet tall, but it's 37 feet tall. That's unbelievable. Jeff Fry texting, and they stayed at the Days Inn, not the La Quinta.
Yeah.
love it. But I'm looking forward to going bass fishing with Rick Rona out of Tulsa, Oklahoma here soon. But Jeff Fry and I will be in East Texas here in a couple of weeks. Jamie, I'll be staying with you in East Austin, but we're going to go chase the elusive bass. And here's what I'd say about that. We're going to fish a lake that's about, I don't know, 50 acres. We'll call it 50 acres. But if we don't remove some bass out of that lake, we're going to have a bunch of fish that are, you know, have big heads and little bodies. There's some management going on. And I got to tell you, catch and release is I'm all about it. But on some of these lakes, small privately owned lakes, for example, you got to take some of the fish out, and you got to bass fillets are outstanding. I heard the Big Ugly Tailgate talking about striper fillets, but I'm telling you, largemouth bass fillets are outstanding, and there's nothing wrong with that. This one particular lake, the owner wants to remove 250 fish annually, which makes some great fish fry opportunities. But he wants 250 removed so that they can keep the lake healthy and continue to produce, you know, quality fish.
That's called
catch. Afraid to keep some bass.
That's called catch and release in the frying pan.
And by the way, if you're going to fry fish, please fry them hard. Fry the fish hard, and you got to have ketchup, in my opinion. I mean, it's just got to be, and I don't eat it too often, but when I do, I like to throw deep. And golly, there's nothing like a good fish fry. Of course, you know, I know that the texters in there talking about crappie and such, and it is good. I've only had crappie one time, and I don't think it was done the way it should have been. They didn't fry it hard enough, but I've got to get on a crappie bed somewhere and have a good crappie fish fry. I'd love to go on a crappie fishing trip. And Jamie, you would like that because there's a lot of catching going on. You're not going to get bored.
Have you ever done striper fishing?
Oh, yeah, at Lake Texoma. Shout out to your mom.
Yeah, that's right. We used to go striper fish on Lake Buchanan, and it is so much fun. And actually, that fish is really good to eat. I love it.
Yeah, you got to cut out that. There's a red vein that goes across.
Yeah, that's true.
You cut that out, and you're good to go there on the stripers. Yeah, we got into them. We went on a family trip at Lake Texoma, and we got into them with those spoons, and it was just one after another. I think we caught 30 or 40, and the girls, our three daughters, they just loved it. And the beautiful thing about Texoma is that there's these great beaches that you can just pull the boat up in, and you know, pack a sack lunch and. You know, get out and swim a little bit, and I guess you could bring some sort of little grill out there and do a little grilling action on the side. Man, that'd be a nice touch out there at Lake Texoma. It's summer's getting right here, and I can't wait to get out on the water and get after some of this outdoor activity that we've missed so much over the last year with this cray cray weather that we've had. Jesus, unbelievable. Let's go. We're going to go a short break here. We'll be right back from the banks of 360. Johnny Oates.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Give me the type of wine and what kind of gambling where things could really go badly. Jeff Ward.
Got to throw in a cigar.
When the cigar hits the lips, it's off. There goes Christmas for the kids.
Oh, my God.
When do you know Christmas is over, kids? When is the tuition not going to get paid? It's if that cigar goes in that guy's mouth at the craps table. It's trouble.
Weekdays 12 to 3 on the Horn.
Here we go. A 1, 2.
This is Trace Atkins, and I still can't believe Flowers has his own radio show. Unbelievable.
Welcome back to the High Ground from the banks of 360, and really a broken-hearted banks of 360 for the entire Westlake community, as we pause briefly to share our thoughts with the Ellinger family. Sam Ellinger and Jake are friends of our daughters, and I got to tell you, it's just unfathomable what that family is going through right now, and it was crushing for our daughters to reach out to us early before the news broke and share the news with us. Simply unbelievable. And our deepest sympathies to the Ellinger family as this community, again, deals with it. Just an unimaginable tragedy here. And we love that family, and we wish them all the best in this incredibly difficult time in their lives. And Sam, of course, returned from the Indianapolis Colts right away with the news. And we're so just stunned by the news. Gentlemen, a tough week right there for Westlake, and just a tough week for everybody that knows that family and knows them so close to them. I was glad to see that our alma mater took a moment in TCU yesterday before the game and paused to recognize the Ellinger family. Just a tough deal all around, gentlemen. Yeah. I can't say.
Yeah. El Arroyo had a you know, posted his football number on their sign yesterday, which was really cool, number 48. So shout out to them. That was really cool. Yeah, and I also heard, what's it, Ursay, or is that the guys from the Colts?
Yeah, the Colts.
They lent the private jet to get
Santa
back home.
So quick scan, and you know, it's there's no words you can really put in. You just want to support the family as much as you can, and you know,
it's very tragic, but you know, Longhorn Nation's out there, which is great, and you know, and man, it's really sad to hear. I feel so terrible for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the NFL, gentlemen, you all have been tracking the NFL as you get ready for your fantasy stuff.
Who will quarterback the Green Bay Packers this year?
Yeah, that's still up in limbo, isn't it? I mean, will Aaron Rodgers be a host on Jeopardy next year?
I don't know. He's got a new fiance. He's out there. He's a West Coaster, and I don't know.
A part of me is like, now this is just dragging on too long, and now I really don't care. Now it's like, okay, you know what? I love you, Aaron. You're a great quarterback and everything, but I don't feel sorry for you.
millions and millions and millions of
dollars.
Yeah,
you won a Super Bowl.
I get it, though.
And all that
I mean, I get it. And it's a unique situation in Green Bay because there's no ownership.
Yeah,
there's,
but wasn't Green Bay just. I mean, they're close to being in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were.
But it's not like he's far away from, you know, championship
football. But there's no owner of the Green Bay Packers. You know that.
Yeah, but he's known that, too.
I know, but it's just it's weird. It's like, okay, who owns the team? Everybody that buys a certificate in the Green Bay area, they own parts
of
the
team. Yeah, that's funny. Like, you got to read the fine print on that thing.
Yeah, there's no Jerry Jones up there.
I mean, that's basically 50,000 participation certificates of people.
But I mean, the funny part of the NFL, everyone's like going, hey, he'd be a great fit here, here, and here. You know what? He'd be a great fit on any team.
Oh, absolutely. He's the closest thing to John Elway, like arm-wise, that I've seen. Like, that guy can make all the throws.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, I sit there and you like fantasize, like, man, in New Orleans, he'd be a great fit. In Vegas, he'd be a great fit. In Denver, he'd be a great fit. Niners even, well, I don't know. Yeah. But.
Well, what you have to weigh, gentlemen, and this is something that Bucky and Aaron, I don't think they harp on it. I think they talk about it enough because it certainly is etched in my memory, is that if you were to get him, what are you going to do in the red zone when suddenly they drop everybody back and cover because they know he is not going to go all in and try to run the ball in from 10 yards out or 8 yards out. And jeopardize injury because I saw what everybody else saw. And twice he had the opportunity to go all in and give it up for the team, and that did not occur. So that's why when you look at the New Orleans Saints, hey, if you look at Drew Brees, he was all in. And I guarantee you he's running the ball in.
Yeah,
there.
That's true.
And the moment you back off the throttle, everybody recognizes that. And when I saw that occur during that game, that playoff game, I was like, he's not all in.
Well, if you look at him, how old he is, but then you look at, Brady, he's still young.
Aaron
he's 37.
Is what, 36, 37?
37.
And watching these guys play, he's got
five more years. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that. I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, it's always quarterback. The draft, it just cracks me up because I don't know how Houston can get any worse than it is right now.
Well, if Aaron Rodgers is worried about committing his body to a play, then go to the Saints. That's when you throw Taysom Hill in there. Let that kid's body go. You need those yards. You know, they had that rotation down pretty good. So
That's a good point. You bring in, when you get down in there, bring in an athlete like that, you know, a Taysom.
Well, see they're giving it a tryout to and the Jaguars?
Yeah, Tebow.
Tebow for tight end.
You know what, though? I see, like, Taysom Hill and like, you know, we were just talking about the Ellingers. I can see Sam playing some sort of role like Taysom Hill, though. You know, kind of like
a 16.
Whether you like it or not, he was kind of a battering ram at Texas.
Kind of like a 16-wheeler package, put him in the red zone.
You know, like the kid that can throw the ball, but if you need him to go run and get three tough yards and go head up with the linebacker, that's you rather roll with that guy than your starter.
I know, but if I'm the backup quarterback with the baseball cap and a clipboard, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I want the clipboard.
I want the clipboard, the baseball cap back.
I wonder how many crossword puzzles Colt McCoy's completed. No, I'm just kidding.
He's had an awesome career. Yeah. Awesome.
I've been playing tic-tac-toe at the punters for 20 years.
Well, I think that, one of the biggest fans of Sam Ellinger is Miss Beth, my wife. She thinks he is just a remarkable player, and she has said, I really think he's going to be successful as an NFL quarterback, and I think it's because she knows the young man's character through our daughters. They went to high school together and are still close friends, and she thinks it's exactly what you just said, W, that, you know, you can count on him being all in. No question about it. No matter if he's on the team, he's fully committed.
I'll tell you what, if any of my nephews turn out to be like just half the man Sam is at this point with, you know, what he's gone through, I'm going to be very proud of him. I mean, somebody that's, you know, lost his father at a young age, now his brother. I mean, the kid's grown up so fast. I mean, he's a 22-year-old probably going on 40, you know.
Yeah.
He is an old soul for sure, and I think I've got a lot of respect for him, and I look forward to talking with him soon. Gentlemen, when you look at there have been a tremendous amount of AD, directors of athletics or athletics directors, changes across the country. And here's my read on this. See, some of these athletics directors who've had to go through a remarkable year of budget constraints, I see a lot of these ADs are retiring, moving on, and now you've got a whole fresh group of ADs coming in. You've got the most recently right there in San Marcos. You've got an interim sitting in right now as they begin their search for leadership in San Marcos. But you're also going to see some changes here in the SEC in baseball coming up very soon. Just watch this, because the second and third order effects of changes are always interesting for me, particularly this time of year now that spring football is behind us. So pay attention to that. There's some interesting stories out there that are going to come to light very soon.
Hey, Colonel, but in for a sec, I was listening to B&E this week, and they're talking about how the transfer portals is going to take an effect. And this actually, I think it might actually be a positive for places like Texas State to grab some good high school talent, because there's going to be a lot of, like, interconference changing, or, you know, the big schools will have transfers going, and I think you're going to see more talent coming through, like, the Sun Belt and some of these smaller conferences because of this.
Well, it certainly is going to be an interesting year to watch, because that talent pool is about to get loaded up with more than junior college talent.
Yeah.
And as a coach right now, you have to really have a coach that is focused on the portal, and he's got to have two or three smart people there watching that portal, alerting him or her of what is available when they're available, and also looking at the behavior. I think you're going to end up seeing at least 30% of a roster of a recruiting class coming from the portal.
I think so too. I think you're right, and I think they're gonna open up analyst jobs just for people studying current players on rosters.
No question about it.
And Colonel, we'll be back right after this.
The Texas Wine of the Week.
Ah, yes, when you hear that song, you know exactly what it is. Ah, yes, it was a woman that drove me to drinking. I didn't even have the decency to thank her. Supporting Texas grape growers, winemakers, it is the Texas Wine of the Week. Brought to you by Drew Brown of Wilson and Goldrick. Drew Brown, right there in the heart of Westlake, just a compassionate, thoughtful, incredibly competent real estate agent. She features a piece of property for sale at 3614moonriver.com, 3614moonriver.com right now. And Drew helped us buy our first home there in Austin and helped us sell a home as well. And we rely on her not only for the Texas Wine of the Week, but for all of our Austin real estate needs. Before we get to the Texas Wine of the Week, here's your baseball trivia question of the day. He won the Cy Young Award in both leagues, with the Indians in 1972 and with the Padres in 1978. And here's your hint. He also played for the Texas Rangers, and I got to see him pitch in Arlington. Name that pitcher. The voice of the Texas Wine of the Week is none other than Jamie Frazier.
Who am I talking about, Jamie Frazier? Hey, so the Brett Dickey Memorial Texas Wine of the Week. Brent is no longer with us because we asked him to leave. It is the 2017 Lewis Wines Abernillo, and it's aromas of ripe pear fill the senses with a first swirl of this wine, bright and lemony with a refreshing mineral-driven palate. It's a beautiful expression of the Spanish native variety, and it's the Brent Dickey Memorial Texas Wine of the Week. We're worried about Brent, too, because that Chinese rocket could fall anywhere, and it could hit Brent. So if you do see Brent...
What's the name of the winery again?
It is the Lewis Wines Abernillo. That's right. 2017.
Todo bien. Todo bien. No te preocupes. Hey. So he won the Cy Young Award in both leagues, the Indians in 72 and the Padres in 78. I watched him pitch live for the Texas Rangers. He's none other than the great Gaylord Perry.
We knew that up here. The W, I already put it on the – yeah, you know it. Hey, Colonel, we're worried about you, too, because, you know, that there's that Chinese rocket that's coming down today or tomorrow. So we don't know.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
Yeah. It's coming down.
They don't know where it's going to land.
They don't. I mean
– Mihao.
Mihao. Yeah. I don't know. But –
Unbelievable.
We want you to be careful out there, you know, you and Branch.
Well, gentlemen, Saturday in the ATX, what are the plans – you, Jamie Frazier, the Pride of East Austin, where to?
Home Depot. Right, going to Home Depot, buying some plants that will survive a snow apocalypse. That's right.
Well, lumber is, speaking of Home Depot, boy, if you want some lumber right now, you got to decide whether you're going to invest in lumber or gold.
Or Bitcoin. That's right.
Or Bitcoin. Or Bitcoin up and down. That horse last week, Bitcoin, it was just all over the race. It couldn't decide what it wanted to do.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So,
yeah.
Any feedback from the fourth running of the Horn ATX Derby?
Fast Eddie felt slighted that the Fastboro didn't win, but that's okay. Yeah, you got a lot of play time. A lot of who didn't Barstools play that on their platform?
I don't know that for sure, but I think they may have. I know they received it. Mm-hmm. I didn't send it to them, but somebody did. I did send it to Connor Crehan, who does Zero Blog 30. Okay. So he may have played it.
Okay.
I think the city of Austin was hoping Prop B would win. It won the election, but did not win the race.
That's right.
It placed. Prop B
placed second, right?
Yeah, I think that folks on May 11th are waiting for two things. What's going to happen right there in downtown Austin? And number two, the release of the super regional sites for the NCAA baseball tournament. Both things happen on May 11th.
Colonel, I think both teams get in, going back to that subject. I really do. I think they're, you know, when it all comes down to it, TCU and Texas are both in the top eight when you see the whole body of work.
Yeah. It's interesting. Aaron Hogan and I were texting during the game last night, and every pitch mattered.
Mm-hmm.
It did have a feel of like a World Series. Every single moment in that game mattered, and of course Texas, you know, hit the long ball out to in right center to go up late in the game. But you know, I tell you, it had all the makings of a great game, and the two outstanding plays in the outfield
kid.
For the Longhorns really saved the day. And, you know, they're going to be two great arms on the bump today at 2:00, and you're going to watch. Here's what I loved about what Texas did yesterday. You know, TCU attacks the zone. They go 0-1, 0-2 all the time. Mm-hmm. They work ahead. And obviously Coach Pierce had the Longhorns ready mm-hmm. because they came in first pitch swinging, got a single right off the bat, and they did not allow until late, towards middle and late in the game, the TCU pitchers to get ahead in the count.
Yeah, that that Longhorn center fielder reminded me a little bit of Drew Stubbs last night, going out there laying out, making that great catch. Wow, I mean that was the game. That was the game right there. That was the game.
And I don't know if that was a home run saving catch. It was hard to tell. I was looking at a huge screen that was not in HD. It was kind of like one of these movie screens projections. So I couldn't tell. Could you all tell if that was a home run saving catch up against the wall?
I did not. I don't know. I didn't see that part.
It's a great play because I can tell you as an outfielder, having played center field, no matter you have a warning track or not, that wall is creeping up on you, and you don't have a whole lot of time to practice that at that particular stadium. I mean, you get some BP and some, you know, you get some pitchers jacking with you and an assistant coach hitting fungos before the game, but every outfield wall is unique, and boy, he played it confidently. I tell you, he did a great job, and today's, man, I just can't wait till 2:00 today.
Yeah, it'll be up there. I wonder if Fast Eddie's up on up there at TCU. Now, don't you have a good story about that sloped wall up there in TCU? Didn't you guys have that sloped wall in here?
Yeah, you know, we talk about the great crowd at Lupton Stadium last night in Fort Worth, and it was packed, and it's the way things should be, in my opinion, right now. But It wasn't always that way. Our daughter was with us last night watching, and she said, "Is that the field you played on?" And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, no, it isn't." If listeners traveled to Fort Worth in the 80s and saw the field that we played on, it was nothing like that. The center field was a cement slanted at about a 45-degree angle. Initially in the 70s and 80s, it was painted green, but your 1983 Horned Frogs one weekend decided to paint it purple, which was kind of obnoxious, but we did it. And that you could hit our center fielder. If we played center field, you couldn't wear metal spikes. You had to wear turf shoes back then, because if a base hit or a ball was hit in the air and landed and hit that wall, it would bounce all the way back to second base. So if you hit one deep in the park back in the 80s against TCU in Fort Worth, you came out of the box running, because there was a good chance if it hit that wall, you had a chance for an inside the park home run. it was terrible. It was terrible conditions. Nothing like what you saw last night, and you'll see again today at 2 p.m. as the Longhorns go into Fort Worth for game two of a three-game set.
All right, Colonel, we will catch you next week, sir. Thanks.
You bet. I look forward to be back in town. We'll see you guys on the high ground.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's